Welcome back to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb, and our next guest is Joshua Klein, who worked as senior researcher for a new book written by Aaron Klein, and it's called The Real Benghazi Story. Since 9/11 is around the corner, we want to know exactly what happened in Benghazi, Libya, at the American compound where four Americans were killed. So, Joshua, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Sure. Now, the Washington Times says of this new book that you worked on doing the key research here, Aaron Klein frames the events in monumental terms, bigger than Watergate, bigger than Iran-Contra, 10 times bigger than both. The Benghazi scandal may have been covered up by the White House, but the truth is about to come out, the publisher promises, says today's Washington Times. So that's very interesting. So what is the real Benghazi?
So, in essence, the real Benghazi story is, let me start off just by saying that the book itself is all based on, you know, research of going through thousands upon thousands of pages of government documents, hundreds of hours of listening to the House hearings, the Senate hearings, different government reports that came out. So everything that's documented in the book is factual based on what the government itself put out. So none of this is opinionated. It's not theory based on some fact. It's really just connecting the dots from a very large haystack of information that was put out and finding the needles and the dots to connect each and every aspect that I think from people that are, you know, novice to people that are even extremely familiar with the Benghazi scandal, let's call it, they would be surprised and they would learn the tremendous amounts of surprisingly new information just by reading this book. So that's kind of the premise of the book itself.
Sure. Okay, well, first of all, both the president and Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State at the time, blamed an internet video about Muhammad that was offensive to Muslims. They blamed that video on the Benghazi attack. What are your comments on that, having done all this research for Aaron Klein's book?
Yeah, so that's a perfect example of people have a general understanding of what the scandal is. It was 2 weeks before the elections. We have to remember the time frame that this was going on in.
Two months,
before the elections. And there was a general line, Al-Qaeda's on the run. But if what was the actual details of what literally went down in Benghazi were exposed, that really could have derailed Obama's reelection campaign at the time. So they came out with this, admittedly so at this point, the cockamamie story of a video that caused these spontaneous protests to happen in Benghazi. They went so far as to say the second part of that lie, which is very important and which is what we really exposed in this book, in order for that lie to work, the line of thinking has to be that the protest happened at a location, that would make sense, at a consulate. So part of the research that we came across in the book, one of the first things actually, and that kind of really led us into everything else, was we looked into this facility in Benghazi. What was it? Was it a consulate? Was it an embassy? What was going on there? What sort of activities were transpiring there? And through our research, we were able to discover, pretty simply that there was no consulate that ever existed. There was no embassy that ever existed. In Benghazi, they were both located in the capital of Libya, which is Tripoli. Actually, 2 weeks before the attack, there was actually the consulate was opened within the embassy itself in Tripoli. There was a big ceremony. So what was this facility? The government describes it as something called a special mission compound. That is literally, and in fact, the government, they came out, the White House, as far as the talking point aspect of this scandal, the one word that they said that they changed in those talking points was from the word consulate to special mission. Through the book, you'll really come to understand what the ramifications and the implications are between the differences of those two, because it's very vital to understand the differences and what that means. how that, you know, feeds further into all these lies that we were told about a protest going on over there. Then we kind of go from there to, you know, we were told the protests were an outgrowth of protests earlier that night in Egypt. So we kind of trace back to what was going on in Egypt that night with the protest in response to a video over there. I mean,
was that valid? By the way, was that valid? In other words, that in Cairo or in Egypt, some of the protests against Americans and so forth were related to that video?
No.
Wow.
No, even CNN is documenting this. That's why it's unbelievable. And I think that that's what I mean. A lot of people that really think they have a good grasp of this scandal really will benefit a lot from the information that we really looked into. No, the protest in Egypt had absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with this video. That was the only protest going on in the Arab world, before what happened in Benghazi. You know, afterwards, Hillary Clinton likes to make it sound like there were, you know, multiple protests at that time, you know, going on all around the world. It was in reaction to a video. Things were confusing, a fog of war. No, the only thing that preceded that event was protests in Egypt. The protests in Egypt were pre-planned. This is all documented in the book. They were pre-planned for months. In fact, there was sit-ins going in over there for close to a year almost, and the point of those protests were to free someone called the Blind Sheik.
The Blind Sheik, the one that was responsible for the World Trade Center attack of 1993.
Yeah, exactly.
And Andrew McCarthy put him away. Or he was the lead prosecuting attorney and so forth, put him away. That's amazing. So that was the goal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have to remember, again, we have to go back in time, and what was going on at that time was the Muslim Brotherhood was in power in Egypt at that time, not the current government, not the army. Mohamed Morsi, who represented the Muslim Brotherhood, actually right after he got elected into office, one of his main promises that he made to his constituency was freeing of the Blind Sheik, about a month or two leading up to the whole Benghazi incident. That was, you know, a very strong movement going on, within Egypt. Mohamed Morsi actually sent representatives to the White House, one of which is actually a known terrorist. He was on a terrorist watch list. This is factual documented in the book, as crazy as this may sound. He was a terrorist within the Muslim Brotherhood. He went to the White House to petition for the release of the Blind Sheik. At CNN that day, the day of the protest in Egypt on 9/11, actually interviewed the one of the leaders of the protest. This is all documented, and there's a video of it. He's describing exactly this protest, what it's about, the Blind Sheik, how it was set up for already months in advance.
But going back to Benghazi, the attack itself, was that because it was the anniversary of 9/11?
So we kind of document, because we want to stick to only facts, like what we know. Why the attack happened, I mean, I don't know. I can't say what was the exact motivating factor.
We can say definitively, of course, that was the 11th anniversary of 9/11, or 11 years after 9/11 occurred, and there's some merit to that.
Oh, yes, 100%. It definitely, you know, had to do with the merit of the anniversary of 9/11. Yeah. I was getting at more of the motivations of the people behind it, the groups that were behind it, the government names.
Now, I only have a few minutes left with you, and I want to get some basic facts here. We're talking right now with Joshua Klein, who is the chief or senior researcher for this new book, which is called The Real Benghazi. So tell us, what was the real Benghazi? Why was our ambassador killed? Why was our ambassador even in Benghazi as opposed to Tripoli? What was this mission that he was on in this building that was no longer being called a consulate, but rather a special mission compound or something?
Unbelievable, the questions that we raise. Exactly, what was Ambassador Stevens, United States Ambassador, doing in Benghazi in a mission, again, not...
And the answer was? Or the answer is?
So some of the factual answers that we came out with may surprise you is actually that Hillary Clinton herself, this is according to Gregory Hicks, the number two, at the embassy in Tripoli, that she actually sent him over to this facility because she wanted to transfer that into eventually a embassy proper. And actually, in order to do that, Christopher Stevens needed to go to this facility to do some paperwork, and it had to be done before the end of the month. So he actually testified that one of the reasons that he was there, and he repeated himself because the people in Congress were taken aback, and you're saying that Hillary Clinton sent him to Benghazi in order to facilitate the turning this at that time.
Okay. Now, to put this in perspective, is Benghazi the place, as I recall, where even the British pulled out and said, forget it, it's not safe, and we're not going to have any facility there anymore? It was an unsafe place, right, for Americans and pro-Westerns types?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I think it was Colonel Wood, he was one of the people that said we were the last flag standing, we were the last Western target to be attacked. Yes, everyone else evacuated, the British, the Red Cross, there was nobody there. This was an area teeming with terrorist training camps. Who would think that on 9/11 of 2012 that we would be even using that term, terrorist training camps? They were, actually, we document in the book, there were 10 training camps within the area of this special compound mission itself in Benghazi. So this was, this was Al-Qaeda terrorist.
Do you have any idea in all the research that you've done as to why Hillary Clinton wanted Chris Stevens to, potentially open that up as a compound later? Why? Benghazi?
Because we document that had a lot more to do with Benghazi and Libya than a lot of people might realize, the war itself, how it got started. So it really was Clinton's war, and she really wanted to put her name on it as Secretary of State. She wanted this to be, one of her major accomplishments. She actually went over to Libya right after the war, and she wanted to be able to open up an embassy, as I mentioned earlier.
Well, when you say the war, you mean, in other words, when the other guy, the old guy, I forgot his name.
When we overthrew Gaddafi.
Yeah, exactly, when he got killed and everything. Yeah, oh, okay.
To this day.
Which was in 2011.
This is going back to 2011, the Arab Spring. This was the first military activity that we even got involved in at that time.
Wow.
Before that, it was in Tunisia, governments kind of being overthrown by the people themselves.
Right.
So actually, this was a war that was unauthorized. It had no constitutional powers to it. Obama didn't go to the Congress, and he just started bombing Libya with NATO. And one of the main motivating factors behind that pushed them into doing that was actually Hillary Clinton. She was a strong driving factor behind, starting this unauthorized war. And, so this was really her baby.
We have less than a minute to go. Fast forward to where we are today, all these years after 9/11, is there any link between what's happening in Syria and in Iraq with ISIS or ISIL or IS and what happened in Libya 3 years ago or 2 years ago?
There's a tremendous link, and that's kind of how we end off the book, and that's why this book is more relevant today than at any other time, because everything you're seeing going on right now in every area that you...
Okay, connect the dots. Connect the dots. 40 seconds.
Basically, there were tremendous amounts of weapons that were left over from Muammar Gaddafi, terrorist training camps that are coming out of this area. So that right now, the entire region, the Middle East, North Africa, has been destabilized as a result of the war in Libya. Weapons have been flooding into zones all over the place, creating destabilization. Fighters have been coming out from these training camps and destabilizing countries. So everything we're seeing right now around the world is an outgrowth of our foreign policy and disastrous. So happened at Libya at the time.
All of this is captured in the new book called The Real Benghazi Story by Aaron Klein. The senior researcher for that book has been joining us today, Joshua Klein. Thanks so much. Website you want to mention for the book?
WorldNet Daily, WND. You can get it over
.com.
There. You can, of course, get it on Amazon also.
The Real Benghazi Story. Okay, thanks for your time. All the best.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.